Big news! Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello everybody, my name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be continuing our coverage of Megan Basham's Shepherds for Sale and the impact that this book has had thus far, and some of the more recent controversies that have arisen since. I believe the Gavin Ortland one is a dud. It might work for some YouTube simps, but I think overall it's a dud because he's not significant enough to move the book sale market. But the more interesting attacks that have emerged since are the Me Too accusations being thrown against Megan Basham and how she violated Me Too protocol. And you'll love to see that. We're going to talk about why that was based, what Megan Basham did do. But first, I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our Patreon-like system at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. But more importantly, at the moment, we got a new book, Winning Not Winsome, my book, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare. And this is a book about practicing discernment. It is a book about the corruption in Big Eva, specifically with the word winsome. And it's also a book about practical steps that the believer can take to help win down here. Because we don't have to lose down here. I think it's a judgment against our ineptitude if we do lose down here. So, I don't want to lose down here. I'm into winning. I love winning. So, I wrote this book. So, anyway, moving on. The Me Too coverage and the Me Too backlash that Megan Basham has received has been quite interesting. And has come from some people that operate in discernment world. Mainly, people like Ministry Watch. Now, I am not a fan of Ministry Watch. I'm just not. I've said that multiple times on this platform that I'm not a fan of the work that they do. And part of the reason why is they, you know, believe themselves to be good arbiters of financial accountability. Now, they have changed their standards since the impression that I had, because they used to list an organization that you had to be affiliated with in order to, you know, really get the 5 stars on financial transparency, but that's no longer the case. But in any case, they have written a few articles that have me questioning some of the stuff. You know, they have a very good relationship with Julie Royce, which is a major red flag, and it's going to come up in this article titled Basham Criticized for Naming Johnny Hunt's Sexual Abuse Accuser in New Book. Now, a little fake news in the headline: Johnny Hunt is not accused of sexual abuse. He is at most accused of fondling a woman who came into his hotel room, or maybe it was vice versa. But it was definitely a inappropriate for married people kind of thing to have been doing on both parts. And he's accused of getting a little handsy. But that's her side of the story, according to the Guidepost report. Nothing criminal was ever filed. Nothing civil on her end was ever filed. These are just, you know, anonymous accusations until Megan Basham, although she's not really the person who made it public. There have been people who have known this for years, and the lawyer is who made it public. So, this article is written by Kim Roberts, never really heard of her. She writes, the New York Times bestseller, so it's just an introduction of who Megan Basham is, And she's coming under fire from journalists, which is such a high bar, such a high standard. We love journalists around here, right? Or is this the Aron McIntyre, you think you hate journalists enough, but you don't type of mentality? Who says author Megan Basham didn't follow basic rules of journalistic ethics when she revealed the name of former SBC president Johnny Hunt's accuser. Now, this article makes a conscious decision not to name Alisa Womack, who is the accuser that was named in Megan Basham's book. It is in the chapter on the Me Too movement, and it's a very good chapter. It is one of my favorite chapters in the book. When I did the review of the book, I ranked the chapters. You should check that out. So this chapter was pretty important because it takes a woodshed to Christian media and how they peddled the Me Too narrative. It also takes a woodshed to people like J.D. Greer and Kevin Ezell for their hypocrisy in the Me Too stuff. So this was a very good chapter, and I love the fact that it name-dropped Alisa Womack for being an anonymous, you know, who wanted to anonymously accuse Johnny Hunt of, you know, sexual assault, not sexual abuse, because there's a difference between the two. When in reality, that's just one side of the story. And she does not have a right to remain anonymous when making accusations against another, you know, someone else in the church. You don't get the right to make anonymous accusations like that. It is of journalistic value to report the names of Me Too accusers. I would have named this person as well. So Megan Basham is not alone in this. I would have done the same exact thing. In fact, I might have even gone harder. You know, I have noted that, you know, I am comfortable being the Mott where she can be the Bailey, if you know what I'm saying. So either way, Robert Dowman, who was a key reporter about SBC sex abuse scandal when he worked for the Houston Chronicle. So this guy lied for a living. The Houston Chronicle article peddled a false narrative. Megan Basham does debunk this narrative, but at the end of the day, the numbers don't lie. The idea that there was a crisis was not substantiated by the numbers, and it didn't have high-profile cases of actual sex abuse that, you know, was further proven by the Guidepost report, which did not find any. So anyway, Robert Dowman is a journalist who's very, you know, he's a little sore and anal about the whole naming the supposed victim thing. But part of what Megan Basham's point was is that she's not a victim. And he tweeted out, I'm still working my way through Megan Basham's new book and will have some thoughts, but wanted to note that she goes out of her way to name someone who credibly accused former SBC president Johnny Hunt of sex assault. I can't think of a single journalistic reason to have done so. Again, this guy lies for a reason, so of course he doesn't think of a journalistic reason to do so. He's a propagandist. He went on to say that he worked with Hunt's accuser and her husband for months before they would agree to let him tell their story, and only with a ton of assurances that we would do everything possible to protect their identities. Apparently, Basham found the name in court documents where it was not redacted and chose to publish it, Dowman said. Now, again, key detail here. It was her lawyer that did not redact the details. So their lawyer made a blunder. Now, again, even if she found it out through shady means, I believe it was worth publishing. According to the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics, victims of sexual crimes should be shown compassion and treated with heightened sensitivity. It also calls on journalists to recognize that legal access to information differs from an ethical justification to publish or broadcast. So again, is this the Bible standard? And the answer is no. The Bible does not have such, you know, burdensome yoke on journalism that the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics does, which I would reason to bet that they also believe in using preferred pronouns as well. So again, AP style books and other things like that are how fake news is codified. And yeah, I think me and someone else in the discernment world wanted to create some sort of like code, you know, some sort of code for operating, a standard operating procedure, and stuff like that. So we could use something that's a Christian alternative to that, because there's no sin in what Megan Basham did. That's not a sin. And it says, while Basham may have legally found the name of Hunt's accuser, that doesn't give our green light to, and this is in quotes, a green light to abandon basic ethics, nor do you get to abandon basic ethics because you find the allegations questionable or you decide that the victim is less of a victim than they say. And again, where is she? Again, sexual crime, victims of sexual crime. She's not a real victim of a sexual crime. She didn't even file. She didn't file any charges, and we're past the statute of limitations, I would imagine, since it happened in like 2012. What crime occurred? Anyway, and his side of the story is that she went after, came on to him, which I get that that's a common defense, but, you know, it is a he said, she said situation. Julie Royce of the Royce Report, again, like I said, Ministry Watch gives a lot of credence to the Royce Report, which is a feminist rag, and it's funded by a liberal college, by the way. Naming a sex abuse survivor without her consent is completely unethical. Harper's Collins, the publisher, needs to pull Megan Basham's book immediately. I wish I could say I was surprised, but Basham has repeatedly shown disdain for survivors. And that's Julie Royce. Again, she's a raging feminist who is a groomer herself. She's an absolute hypocrite on this front because she had a quasi-lesbian relationship with someone who is under her ministerial care years and years ago. This is really cringeworthy and very hypocritical on her front, and it got her canceled from her own conference at the time. Now, she wasn't canceled enough for that, especially the fact that it was quasi-lesbian, so she should have been canceled for that. Anyway, that's kind of like the major part that I wanted to talk about with this part of the story. Another thing I wanted to highlight is that Christian media has been very, you know, they don't really want to talk about it. I noticed that Christian Post has not published a single article on this book at all, or the controversy thereof. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding this book, and it hasn't really dived into any of the controversy at all. I think that's dereliction of Christian media. Ministry Watch is similarly committing they're being derelict in their duty because their founder, or the person in charge of them, does not like Megan Basham and does not like what she's been doing. And there's another thing to highlight is that the success of Megan Basham has made a lot of people jealous. Now, I have a business mindset and I believe that a rising tide lifts all boats. I am concerned less about market share and a little bit more about market size. You know, the size of the pie matters more than the size of the than the percentage of the slice. So that's more so my mentality. There's a lot of people in the discernment world that think like me. People at Protestia, very collaborative. I like those people quite a bit. So there's an example. However, there's a large segment of people that do not like other people having success. Janet Mefford is a key example. Michael Fallon's definitely a little bit of an example. And Tom Littleton. Those are three examples, just to name some names, to the point that I'm making. They don't like the fact that Megan Basham broadcasted a lot of their concerns to a much larger audience and has received a lot of acclaim. And who knows whether how much money she's going to make off this book at all. I don't think books are as lucrative as they used to be. But anyway, this is not about pride. And it's not about credit. It's a thankless calling that we've set out to do in many ways. But maybe we can make some, an impact. Maybe, we can help provide for our families and stuff like that. But this is, in large part, a labor of love. A love for the church. A love for God. A love for the Word. A love for fellow believers. So, those are my closing thoughts on the controversy, the latest controversies of Megan Basham's Shepherds for Sale. Have a blessed day, stay based, Christ is King, and we will catch you on the next one.